When South Africa's GDP numbers came out a couple of weeks ago, they were pretty good. And one of the main drivers of the increase in GDP to a positive from a negative was the performance of the agricultural economy. And agriculture, of course, relies on many things, one of which being water, rain, irrigation, etc. And in the Western Cape, of course, we all know, and it's all been rammed down our throats in various ways, that we are in a desperate situation. We need to update ourselves on this now. And on the telephone is Terry Winstanley, Director and Head of the Environmental Law Practice Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, or CDH, who says that as a result, regulations have to be strictly enforced to prevent further mismanagement of water in the region. Bit late for that now, Terry, but before we get on to regulations and the new regulations that have just been released, almost indecipherable, but we'll try to do so later, what is the current situation from a layman's point of view, not a water person's point of view? How much water is there left?
Hi, Lindsay. Yes, you're right, it's not looking good. We have at the moment about 37% of the dam's capacities, and we would ordinarily want to finish what is traditionally our rainy period with at least double that. And the other problem is that you can't use the last 10% of water in the dams because of the sludge. So the reality is that we are looking at in the region of 30% of our capacity at the end of our rainy season.
A couple of years ago, before this situation really manifested itself, me being a geography major, I thought to myself, well, I've noticed a shift in seasons in Cape Town. In other words, summers are later, winters later, etc. It's almost as though there's been a matter of weeks that have changed since I've been living in Cape Town. I just wonder, and I just hope, if that is going to happen. And again, you're not a meteorologist, but hopefully our winter season goes on until November, December, and we might get some late rains. Any chance of that? Because you must look at the forecasts.
Yes, gee, I hope you're right, Lindsay. And there is some prospect of rain next week, but the meteorologists are saying we can't expect the kind of rain that we need that would require us to start building arcs and fill up our dams. We are probably contemplating a very usual end of the rainy season, if perhaps not slightly below what we would hope for.
Okay, so let's say as an optimist or as optimists that we've got 40% left in the dams across the whole of the region. 10% is unusable because it would be non-potable, etc. So we've got 30% left. How long do you suppose that might last should we get a hot summer? And I've heard people saying it's going to be a very hot summer. I noticed a couple of days ago it was 32 degrees in Cape Town, and it's still it's still supposed to be wintertime, late winter. So how long would it last?
It's difficult to say with certainty. It's what Premier Helen Zille has been referring to as day zero. Some people predict it pessimistically as soon as the end of February. Other people are saying sometime in March. But if we continue to use water at the same rate that we're using it, certainly before April, we will run out of water if we don't find other alternative sources.
Yeah, it's a bit late for that now, isn't it? Because you can't just turn on the tap, pardon the pun. Let's talk about the legalities of water regulations in South Africa now, which is your area of expertise. What do you want to put across?
I just want to draw people's attention to a notice that came out in the Government Gazette last Thursday. It's not absolutely clear what its meaning is, but it applies to water users in the area which supplies the Western Cape water supply system. And those are specifically the Breedehoritz and the Berg Olifants water management areas.
Right.
And in those areas, with immediate effect, that is from Sunday, there is a directive on everybody who uses water in that area, either for domestic or industrial purposes, to use between 20 and 40% less, and for agricultural users to use between 30 and 50% less, measured against the previous 5 years' annual average. Now that, as you can imagine, as I said, it's not absolutely clear what the meaning of the notice is, but if I take it at face value, that means that people who are irrigating right now have to use between 30 and 50% less of the water that they have historically used for agricultural purposes, which has potentially enormous consequences for people who've got crops in the ground that they need to sell.
Yes. The Old Water Act of 1956 did make a distinction between public and private water, but what you've just said is there is also a distinction in the levels of usage that these new regulations set out.
Well, interestingly, the new Act doesn't, well, it's not new, it's 20 years old, but we still refer to it as new. It doesn't make a distinction between agricultural, domestic, and industrial water uses. It deals only with water uses such as taking of water and storing of water. So the reference to domestic and industrial and agricultural water use is old Act language.
Yes.
So that's one of the difficulties with this regulation. But what it's saying is we've all got to stop using water. You know, whether it's absolutely 100% legally correctly framed is that it's pretty enormous for all of us as water users.
Yes, indeed. And you must be working furiously with your team having a look at the legality of it. Is it enforceable?
Well, I'm not sure. I think that it is probably open to challenge. In fact, I'm certain that it's open to challenge. But of course, it doesn't solve the bigger problem. You know, even if we start abstracting more water from the ground, yes, at some point the aquifers will run out. So unless we can find a sustainable alternative source of water, such as desalination, which, as you probably know, it takes a long time to establish a plant of any size and is terribly expensive, or we can quickly access large quantities of water in aquifers that are close to Cape Town, we're in serious trouble.
Yes, and then after that, those aquifers have to be reprimed, of course, and the only way they can be reprimed is through heavy rainfall.
With rain, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So the point is the water will run out.
Yeah, the water will run out, and the economy of the Western Cape will collapse. And I'm not being alarmist here. It will collapse. If people who are immigrating to the Western Cape or planning to realize that they can't actually shower, they can't do any of their normal daily functions because of the lack of water, they're going to put that off, which means that there's not going to be a brain drain. And that's the second phase. The second phase is people move away from Cape Town until things get better. And it's a sort of apocalyptic scenario that I'm putting forward here. But, you know, water is certainly probably our most important commodity. Now, just back to those new regulations. Did it come from central government or local government?
Yes, it came from central government.
Okay, which makes it even more contentious now, given the relationship between local government and central government. What's the next step then? What should we do? I mean, many people won't know about this, and thanks for drawing our attention to it. What is going to happen next?
I would imagine that the central government will start enforcing this notice.
Okay, and local industry, local agricultural concerns will be up in arms about this, not to mention the general population. Okay, Terry, well, we'll leave it there. It's a rather sobering chat we've had, but an essential one, and we'll keep in touch with you on this. And please let me know as soon as you've got some kind of clarity on this latest regulation. That's Terry Winstanley, Director and Head of the Environmental Law Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr in Cape Town.